Blog Talk Radio.
Finding a job tomorrow morning. Got a little something I wanna do. Gonna buy something I can ride in. I take my girl, take my nothing after driving. Tomorrow's gonna be written down in history. A judge like Romeo and Juliet.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour on this Wednesday evening. This is a program for people who are interested in the intersection, the relationship between intuition, intention setting, imagination, and manifestation. So if you're interested in any of those topics, you're definitely in the right place. I want to just mention that that funny music that came on at the very beginning of the show was kind of a misnomer. It was a different experience there. Normally, Inner Voice's song comes right on, but I think some of the other people who are doing shows have been playing with the stuff, so you got a double duty tonight. So anyway, I'm so glad you're here. I do want to encourage you to share your shiny pretty picture with Inner Voice so we know that you are following the show and listening to the show, and that way we can send you updates about what is coming up next. Just real briefly, I want to share the guests that are coming up on Inner Voice. I'm not sure about next week, although I may be doing – no, I'm really not sure about next week. December 4th, I will have Jen Duchenne on. Jen has a wonderful, fabulous show called La Chic Soul Speak with Jen Duchenne. I was lucky enough to be on it. And she is all about empowering women through connecting with the soul. So I'm really excited to have her joining me on the 4th. And then on December 11th, Pamela Steele from Steel Wizard Tarot will be joining the program, and we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have a PDF on. We're going to offer a PDF so that you can download a sheet that will tell you how to work with tarot for yourself. So if any of you out there love tarot, love the symbolism involved in it, that'll be a really, really great show to listen to. Now, with no further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Donna May from Psyche's Call. Donna, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, Jenny.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'm so excited to have you on this evening. I wanted to share a little bit about what it is you do. I know that Psyche's Call, you talk about the idea of putting soul back into psychology and that that's a big part of the work that you do. And I want to ask you about what that looks like for you and how that differs from other psychology.
Wow, big question. Depth psychology recognizes that we each have a soul and a depth to us. And that oftentimes there's a part of us that's conscious, but another part that's deeply unconscious. And that we're all connected within a web. And my Psyche's Call is the name of my upcoming book and also my website. And I'm shifting more and more, Jenny, away from traditional therapy and really focusing in on giving people the opportunity, the container, and the support to really dive into the depths of their own soul and find out more about what is unique and calling them. Why are they here on the planet?
That's awesome. I love that you bring up this idea of calling, you know, this idea that we're all called to do something that we innately, only we can do. And I think we live in a culture that is so ego-based that sometimes we move away from this idea of calling and we think that we have to accommodate or, you know, be like everyone else in order to, you know, be okay. And I just really appreciate your idea of the fact that we all have a unique calling.
Well, thanks. I think it's really important, and it's always been important, but particularly now with the changes happening in our culture and the time and the will that we live, it is even more important. There's a lot of people that want to tell us what's wrong about us and grab onto that fear-based place inside of us. And so this work is more about saying, this isn't about finding what's wrong with you, you know, what's your disease, what's your problem. This is more about finding out what's right with you and tapping into your own images, your own things that are inherently coming from, bubbling up from within, and honoring and working with those, whatever they are.
I love that. You know, I think psychology has been so focused, at least, you know, when I did my internship and this sort of thing, it was so focused on this idea that we had thinking errors and that we had to change to be okay, and that, again, that we had to be different, you know, that if we were just different or just did what everybody else did, everything would be okay. And I just love your idea of really focusing on who we are and focusing on the positive, you know, because I think that that is so central to what we need to be able to do. You know, we come in with these tapes and karmic patterns and things that are heavy and sometimes don't work for us. And so I think it's kind of like peeling back these layers where we start to see, this is who I really am and this is what I came in with, you know, and these are my gifts. So I just think that's wonderful.
Right, yes, and that it comes from within. And, you know, not always is that an easy journey, as you know, Jenny. You know, sometimes there, you know, it can be dark and scary and hard. But what is different about this is recognizing and honoring whatever those images are that are coming up and out from within. Be it dreams, be it, you know, active imagination and other realms that are trying to kind of find form in, you know, the individual life and also, I believe, in our community, our culture, and the planet itself. It's really important to tap into that place, you know. Whereas as what you were talking about is that, you know, the traditional therapy has really moved away from really what psychology means, you know, what psychology is about. It's become, you know, it's more the word psychology, psyche, you know, is the core piece of what the word is, psychology, the study of soul, you know, psyche being the Greek word for soul. Yes. And we've really moved away from that as a profession, I believe.
Well, I think we're so focused on pathology, you know. We're so focused on the idea of this disease model, which is just not a good place to come from, you know what I mean? And it's not the way to connect with what it is that innately moves us or speaks to us or helps animate our images and our creative process and helps us know ourselves better because it makes us feel bad, you know, and that is not a good way to go, no matter what, you know. I love the fact that you talk about containment, too, and I'd like you to talk a little bit more about what containment in the therapeutic process means to you. How, maybe people aren't familiar with that term, and I'd like you to share that.
Containment. Can you say a little bit more about what you're curious about when you, I know that that's of interest to you, Do we contain it like the therapy container?
Yeah. Or talking about the idea of the container. I think you said container, not containment. But I don't know that that's a term that people in the audience might know what that means. When you go to see a therapist and you create a relationship with someone, what it means to
Got
have
it.
A container. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks. That's okay. I just want to make sure I understood the question here. Container meaning for me, when someone comes in individually, but also in my workshops and when I do classes in groups, my goal is to create, here's another word that a lot of people don't know, but it's called a temenos space, a sacred space, holding a space where someone who is feeling fragile or nervous about, you know, exploring their dreams, exploring what's important to them, exploring where their wounds are, you know, where they're wounded, that they have a place that's safe where they can come and explore those things. That's what I mean by container and containment, you know, holding a space where it feels okay to talk about whatever it is someone needs to talk about. There's something really powerful that happens when, you know, I show up with a sense of really holding this space, soul space, and really listening and tending to what is being said and what's also not being said, you know? Listening with what Steve Eisenstadt, you know, who developed dream tending, would say, listening with soft ears and seeing with soft eyes, you know.
And when you say listening with soft ears and seeing with soft eyes, how's that different than normal listening and seeing?
Yes, yes. Rather than, you know, listening and watching and observing my client or someone in a group or workshop setting as if I'm trying to fix them or figure it out, you know, which goes to the core of dream tending, what's different about that nature of dream, to bring it full circle here, is to be sitting and listening and being a witness where someone is at and being curious and allowing to whatever needs to bubble up to the surface to come without an agenda, I guess, the best way
I think,
can describe it.
I think that's so powerful. I know that in my own, you know, clinical process and seeing clients and things like that, when you just kind of come out of school and stuff, your tendency is to want to analyze and have an agenda because you're so excited about all the stuff you're learning. But I know for myself, and it sounds like for you too, that, you know, often it's just about having someone be a pure witness, just listen, just take in all the parts of the story and be curious and open to what comes next. And I think that's a different way of holding the energy than a lot of people have experienced outside of a counseling room, you know.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to think of her name. It's eluding me here for a second, but there's a famous Alice Miller, used to call it, who wrote a lot of books about trauma and early child abuse, would talk about being a healing witness. And I love that. Being a witness. And
absolutely. Now, so why dreams? You know, a lot of clinicians don't focus so much on dreams. And I wonder how dreams became an active part of your practice and why they're so important to you.
Wow. I think dreams are the direct pipeline to our soul. You know, we talk about archetypal psychology, Jungian psychology, all the depth psychologies recognize, and I have come to really believe this is true, is that the fundamental building block on which soul kind of comes forward is through the image. Mm-hmm. And what more powerful place where images are allowed to form and give expression than in the dream time.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked about how I kind of came to this. I am a graduate of Pacifica Graduate Institute, and I have my degree in counseling psychology, but it's a specialization in depth work, DEPTH, depth work. And so part of the original training is to begin to notice and understand and be trained in dreams. And while I'm an old-timer, I was there when they were on their old campus, and Dr. Eisenstadt, also had developed this way of working with dream called dream tending. And they would meet on campus at that point where we were, when I was in school, they would be doing dream tending work in one of the outbuildings. And I was always very curious about that and knew that dreams were an important element to my own development of who I am and learning to trust my images and my experience. And I was very curious. I wanted to know more. And so I did a lot of training in dream tending. I did, a six-month training, and then I did an advanced training, and I've gone back. I've done some other work both with Steve, but also Robert Bosnick, James Hillman, Jeremy Taylor. And I've come to recognize that that is an important portal in me understanding my client, not just what they think they know, but what's going on below the surface in the unconscious, and not just on a personal realm, but it also gives me an understanding of what elements of ancestor promptings are coming up, where they're hooked into the collective unconscious. And it's much more empowering, I believe, for my client. And it's a different way to come to a better understanding and witnessing for them by incorporating dreams. Yeah.
I really appreciate that, because I think sometimes as clinicians, our clients are too close to their, organic or family story, and sometimes it's hard for them to get perspective on other ways to bring energy into their lives, and the unconscious and the work of dreams and any active imagination, any imaginative pursuit gives us another perspective or another angle to understand who we are that isn't about, our family of origin story or things that are so wounding,
Absolutely. And I like to, when I describe to clients or workshop participants, classes, I've taught dream classes at the local college, do workshops and whatnot, is that dreams are the poetry of the soul. It's a direct pipeline, and there is this ability by tending and noticing one's dreams that, they're multi-layered, and they really are able to tap into and express many different layers, sometimes even with conflicting emotion and experience and layers all at the same time. They're very powerful that way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's interesting, you talk about Pacifica. As I also graduated from Pacifica, but I graduated in 2008, and we didn't have any dream tending groups, none. I'm so excited to hear you talk about how active dream work was on the campus at the time that you went there, because it wasn't something that I experienced directly. I mean, there was a little talking about, you know, oh, did you have a dream last night, but there was no formal work with dreams while I was there. So that's just really cool to hear.
That's kind of sad. I'm sorry that you didn't have that experience, because that was a pretty much a seminal, important part of the work that I got the most value at when I was there. And, you know, it's grown so huge now, and perhaps, you know, I don't know why, but at that time, you know, President Eisenstadt actually taught a class on dreams and, you know, taught one of the classes. There also was another instructor that made keeping a dream journal just a fundamental part of, you know, what we were doing in our clinical practice, you know, in the clinical class. So, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that you missed out on that experience, because I think, you know, if you're going to talk about depth psychology, be it Jungian or Hillmanian, you know, Hillman archetypal, or any other kind of person or, you know, themes that come up out of that field, dreams are a fundamental piece of what the work is about, in my opinion.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. And I had been a very active dreamer and done dream tapes for years and years, and that was what brought me to Pacifica. And I think there was definitely a container for it at Pacifica. You know, I could write about it in papers and things like that and get feedback, but there weren't classes. And it's just interesting how a person changes or morphs or, you know, with different groups. But I want you to talk a little bit about the dream tending and how that work was and how you've used that as part of your clinical practice or your
Thank you. Well, I would love to talk about that and jump in with questions, because I can really get on a roll. I'm passionate about
Get on a roll, and I'll jump in.
Okay. And, you know, again, I'm speaking through my Donna Mae's lens of working with dreams and dream tending in my own unique way, and perhaps Dr. Eisenstadt would have, you know, some other things to say about this, but how I understand and work with dreams is that, number one, first and foremost, we come from the point of that dreams are alive. The images are alive and they're indigenous, meaning they have their own life and experience and are ensouled. And so that's number one, and that dreams are not so much to be interpreted or analyzed as much as to be as the you know, the name kind of alludes to here, is to be tended and to be opened up and explored, and how powerful that is. And part of the way, so this fundamental piece to dream tending, I think, that for me really separates it from some other types of dream work, and certainly analysis, you know, is that not looking to pigeonhole dream images into the realm of just what it means. Mm-hmm. You know, like dream dictionaries are just everywhere. They are sites online and whatnot. They really say, you know, if you have a weird dream, right, when I ever hear the word this dream is weird, my ears just kind of go, woohoo, here we go. We're going to get some rich stuff here, you know. Is that, that are fundamentally, you know, unique to the dreamer. And there are some archetypal or patterns in dreams, and we can talk about that a little bit too, but fundamentally when I work with a person in their dreams is I want to hear and honor the dream as it's told rather than go into an interpretive mode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wonder how you do that with your clients, you know, because I do dream work as well, and sometimes clients come with the express expectation that you're going to interpret the dream. And I always talk about the idea, like you're talking about, the symbol being alive and changing as you change, like it comes back up in the imagination, and it may mean something that's different than when it showed up, you know. So not fixing the symbol, but how do you work with clients who have an expectation? Like they're like, I had a dream and I want you to interpret it. What do you say to them?
Well, I tell them that pretty much what I just said to you a few minutes ago is that I try to explain to them what I believe about dreams, how I want to work with them on the dreams. And getting very curious. So I ask a lot of questions. I try to get clients to tell me their dreams on the front end of a session rather than the back end. Jenny, I don't know if you've had that experience, but it's so frustrating. There's 5 minutes left, right? And we spent, 50 minutes on problems with the spouse or work or, whatever up in the day. And they go, oh, by the way, I had this interesting dream since I saw you last, right? And I'll, go, because, minutes is really not enough time to really work with a dream. And so I try to kind of really actually, make my client aware of where I'm coming from with the work and where I'm hoping they want to go with the work, and which, we can talk a lot about those tools, right, about the portals or the tools in order to deepen the understanding and experience of the dream from the person's perspective rather than, a preconceived idea of where the dream is going to go. And in our fast food culture, a culture that wants everything fast, this can be frustrating to some clients, I would guess. But, mostly I think my clients appreciate this and appreciate that I'm honoring and respecting them and their dream images. And if I am, I'm like anybody, I tend to want to put my two pennies about, how it connects with my own psyche, my own experience. I love Jeremy Taylor's way of working with that in group, and I, use it actually with one-on-one clients and definitely in any type of group or workshop, is to say,
can
is this for my dream?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you, if this were my dream, I would be really curious that, the water is very tumultuous and you feel like you're drowning,
makes it a collective thing. So it isn't about one person dreaming it. It's about the whole group. It's about the whole experience of tumultuous water and what everybody brings the idea of tumultuous water. And then the subject gets to say, oh, well, for me, it feels like this. You know what I mean?
Can you say some more about that? I'm not sure. I'm getting exactly what you mean by that. I think I know, but I don't want to guess.
Well, if you're in a group and the person says, if this were my dream, the tumultuous water would feel like this or that. And then the other person says, well, if this were my dream, the tumultuous water would bring up this. You know what I mean? It means that the person is getting a collective idea, archetype of what water means, and then they get to go to a felt sense space and say, of all those things, this is what resonates for me. So it becomes a lived image for the group.
Okay, I get it now. Yes, absolutely. And, one of the things that is so powerful about doing dream work in a circle And, you know, as well as any kind of, I think, depth work that goes and, you know, people are attending together in a sacred place, in a respectful, safe place, is mm-hmm. that, you know, it is an opportunity, when, especially when you're saying, if this were my dream, mm-hmm. this is what I see, using that requires one to own one's own projection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, and recognize that they're coming from their own experience, and that may or may mm-hmm. not be the same experience or what is alive in the dream of the dreamer that is sharing the dream. So mm-hmm. he or she still has is being respected and honored, you know, for what does and does not resonate, you know, with mm-hmm. the image and the conversation about the image, mm-hmm. about the dream. And I mm-hmm. think that is very powerful. And I think that's the significant piece, you know, of why I'm wanting to do more and more work with workshops and circles and groups is this very quality. How do you come together and own your own shadow work, your own images and experience and projections, whatever those mm-hmm. are, and own them, as opposed to just dumping them out on someone else outside mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. yourself.
I think that that's an intense and complex concept, and I'm wondering if you can break it down for listeners when you say, how do you own your own projection, what that means in everyday language.
Yeah. Wow, and every day. Okay, Jenny, just keep at me, okay, till I own this
okay.
down, because I know, because it
sure.
is, it's, yeah, because it's such an important concept. You know, mm-hmm. projection being when I'm not conscious or aware of something going on in me that's uncomfortable, so mm-hmm. I notice it in other people. Or I accuse other people of things outside of myself, about mm-hmm. feelings, actions, motivations that is actually going on inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the projection piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about dreams, symbols, it's a matter of, you know, we're deep in the waters of the unconscious, you know, mm-hmm. meaning what one often is not even aware of. And the dreams and the images come to give us a bridge. You know, mm-hmm. Michael Mead, who I dearly love, talks about the dream. You know, dreams are what calls us, you know, it's the dream is the bridge between the worlds. You know, between the conscious, the unconscious, between our world and the other world, whatever that is. And mm-hmm. When we don't know what that really is, if we're not conscious of what that, we tend to accuse and attack and or negatively define what we think another person, who they are, what they're mm-hmm. about, or what they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And in dreams, when you say, if this were my dream, it's a way of connecting with one's own stuff,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
rather than throwing it out into the world. Is that helpful?
No, that absolutely makes sense. Well, and it makes it a very therapeutic process, so it isn't just about, you know, working with dreams like, oh, dreams are interesting and they're exciting and they can tell us so much about ourselves. It makes it a group process that's therapeutic, that has to do with me owning my own stuff and you owning your own stuff and saying, oh, you know, this is how I could see it differently. So there's a decentering process that happens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And all,
that's really awesome.
Yeah, and all, yes.
Mm-hmm. Go on. I'm listening.
No, you're doing great. I took a sip of and a breath there because this is so exciting. Also, the dreaming, you know, as well as the the reclaiming of what psyche and psychology is about. And what mm-hmm. I'm more passionate about is when you talk about the therapeutic container or therapy, mm-hmm. is that dreams have power and can be therapeutic, but not necessarily do you have to be in a therapy situation to get value from it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following? It's like it's a really, it's really important, I think, that distinction. And I'm really working more and more about, I have a private practice. I see people in therapy. I'm a licensed therapist in California. And I also have a passion. You know, not everybody is mentally ill. They don't need that label.
Right.
But they may have not a disease, but they might have dis-ease. They might have a dis-ease.
Yes. So glad you're bringing this up.
You know, that is a part and parcel of just the times we live in and the challenges mm-hmm. we have and really what's coming up and needs to, there's new images, there's new ways of defining a lot of different areas about how we are both personally but also with our families and with our community, you know, and also mm-hmm. with the earth herself, with the world. Mm-hmm. And dreams is, I think, a really powerful way to connect all those elements together, and not necessarily in therapy. Sometimes it's definitely important and needed. I don't want to discount that, right? I mean, it's my profession, mm-hmm. but there is this other element to dream that really is also important and significant, I think.
Well, it's almost a different way of seeing the world, like what's important, you know. If we have a powerful dream and we bring it into the space, then we get to not have to stay in our everyday life. Like we get to have an interplay with the imagination that is real, if it's a group, or even listening, one person listening to another, to take that sacred experience and share it. Shifts the energy.
Yes, it is so powerful. I mean, Jenny, you know, I've been doing, as you know, these soul callings workshops down in Mount Shasta for two mm-hmm. years now. I do four a year. I've done a series of eight of these in the last 2 years. And I can't tell you how humble and wonderful it is to sit in a circle, a powerful circle with other dreamers that are willing to, what Steve Eisenstein would talk about, animate and activate the dream images. I mean, really working mm-hmm. and having an experiential experience with one's own dream images, one's own, what I would call ahas, you know, mm-hmm. in that process, and doing that in community.
Mm-hmm.
It is so it's so inspiring and so powerful and so amazing what can happen when people sit in with respect and honor and a place where people feel, wow, I'm not going to be judged for my weird images. I'm not going to be told mm-hmm. what to do here. I'm allowed to take my dream images or my waking images, you know, active imagination, mm-hmm. and work with those images and open them up, what's called open them up, right, mm-hmm. to see what is going on. What do they represent for the dreamer or mm-hmm. the one that is doing the imagining and, you know, drawing those, painting those, writing, having dialogue with those images. And we do journey work with a drum, you know, to mm-hmm. connect even more deeply. And then mm-hmm. coming back together and sharing that.
Yeah.
It is, it's so powerful. And when you think about different areas, you know, it's a place where people can come together. It's one of the core, what I call portals, you know, that's what I'm mm-hmm. writing about, you know, portals or doorways, where we kind of connect that which is happening within in community. So that something really alchemical happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, we have about 20 more minutes, and I do have more to ask you, and if you have anything that you really want to just, you know, share, we'll have more time to do that, but I'm just going to play a really quick just little commercial break thing, okay? So just hang on,
awesome.
Get your water, okay. Like that sort of thing.
Hey, Jenny, I heard you have a new sponsor on your show.
Yeah, I'm so excited. John Addison of Holistic Highways to Wisdom, who's an amazing, amazing video maker, and he creates videos for people who are in the metaphysical and spiritual community to promote their services and get their energy and their message out there.
Yeah, I know John very well. He's done videos for me as well.
Awesome. I know he's a great asset to our community. Anyway, if you want to check out John as a practitioner, or if you'd like to check out his wonderful series of metaphysical videos, just pop on over to holistichighwaystowisdom.com. Back to the show.
Awesome. So I am on with Donna May of Psyche's Call this evening, and we are talking all about dreams and working with dream tending and bringing dreams into the space and creating sacred space with our imagination and our dream images. Are you there, Donna?
I'm here. Yep.
Awesome. Very cool. I did want to ask you a little bit about nightmares and how nightmares might differ or how to work with nightmares, if there's a unique way to work with nightmares as opposed to other dreams.
Wow, that's a great question, Jenny. And like all things in the world of dreams, there's not a simple answer, but I'll give it a stab here. Couple layers of comments. The first is that what I like to tell students and clients is that I quote, again, Jeremy Taylor, who I really encourage people that are also very interesting. He says, all dreams come in the service of health and wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all dreams come in the service of health and wholeness. And that includes nightmares. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all by itself often shifts the energy of someone who's afraid, right, to explore or work with the dream because it feels uncomfortable or is scary to them. And in dream tending, the other piece of this is that, you know, dreams hold both the wound or the problem, the challenge, if you will, and the medicine. It holds both, the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And to begin to start to look at dreams that are nightmarish in quality from that vantage point, as opposed to resisting it, kind of, you know, taking on a kind of a place of curiosity and interest in it, and honoring that it has something important to say, even that shift, subtle shift, can make a big difference, you know, for someone with a nightmare. I will say I have one thing to say, a side comment to this. This is for most nightmares. However, there are for people who suffer from PTSD, post-traumatic mm-hmm. stress disorder, have repetitive, scary nightmares that are related to an abuse or a traumatic event or events, and mm-hmm. it is the way that the body and the brain and the body is trying to process the dream, you know, the trauma. And nightmares mm-hmm. are one of the indicators, you know, that there is something, one's struggling with trying to make whole, you know, something that's not quite right. But if it's a repetitive nightmare that involves someone who was a perpetrator, you know, mm-hmm. the person shows up in the dream, or has varying scenarios around the dream, you know, that's another thing to be considered, that you might want to, mm-hmm. if that's true, if the nightmare for the person that is true for them, might want to go get some more individual attention, you know, to mm-hmm. kind of work through and with that dream. But I always like to think, too, if that's not the case, a nightmare, sometimes I think it's psyche really wanting to get our attention. Because,
yeah,
as you know, dreams, we're in a totally different state of consciousness. When we're dreaming, the brain is in a different kind of pattern of mm-hmm. receptivity and processing. And when we wake up, a lot of times we forget our dreams. You know, some people will say, come up to me and go, well, that's all fine and good, but I don't dream. And I, you know, mm-hmm. I'm very, very gentle and say, well, it's not that you don't dream. You just don't remember your dreams, right?
Yes.
But mm-hmm. a nightmare often grabs our attention. It's kind of like our psyche, soul, just grabbing us by the throat and saying, pay attention to me. This is something important. And, mm-hmm. it, you know, like just the very nature of many things that are scary, we just focus our attention better on those things. Good news, bad news, right, Jenny?
Yeah. I guess so. One of the primary reasons that I ended up going to Pacifica was because I had very severe nightmares for several years, and I had to learn to work with them. I had to be able to go into the place of the dream and not hold the space of fear and start to tend those inner projections with love and support. And then I noticed that they shifted, you know. So instead of being this scary, horrible presentation, they just want exactly what you're saying. They just wanted attention. And they showed up that way because they were being ignored or put in the shadow, you know. So I so appreciate this idea of holding the awareness differently and creating space for them and valuing instead of devaluing or judging them, you know.
That's beautifully said, Jenny.
Yeah. I think you know, nightmares have the opportunity to be some of our most transformational gifts, you know. I mean, like when you're talking about the idea of the symptom, you know, you're talking about this idea that maybe something shows up and it seems like something that throws us off course or doesn't help us heal, but it's really an opportunity to look more deeply or with more appreciation, you know.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yes, it's asking. And I think that's really how soul speaks to us in our dreams, but also in other areas, both in our body and in our mind and in our life experience. You know, it's I love the Leonard Cohen song, you know, the crack is, that's how the light gets in.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
Oh my Hallelujah. Gosh, I love that. You know, I think it really speaks to, you know, when we're in the, when we look at it from an archetypal or depth psychology place, is that it's the soul is in the wound, right? It's where there's something wanting to be heard or seen or be given expression and demands attention, you know, and focus and, you know, just like nightmares, you know?
Yeah. Well, and when we rush to this place of judgment about what the symbol means, you know, rush to our dream dictionary and, you know, decide we know what the symbol means because we read it in a book, we miss for ourselves what the symbol means for us, what it's saying to us. So I just so appreciate this idea of tending it and allowing it to show up in different stages and different ways and learning from it, you know. Having that deeper interest.
Yeah, just being curious, and really, it's a trusting your own process, trusting my own mm-hmm. process, right? As opposed to, the culture wants us to be afraid and focused outward, and you know, outside people, places, and things are going to tell us what to do and how to fix mm-hmm. things and yada yada. You know, and we just, I think this is what depth psychology and dreams in particular bring to the table is, you know, begin to honor our own dreams, our own images and experience, and see what is wanting to be born and heard mm-hmm. and created, you know, mm-hmm. out from that place deep within, listening hard. You know, and one of the mm-hmm. things too, Jenny, that I love about dream tending is that recognition that there is, you know, the world dreams, you know, that everything yes. is in soul and is dreaming. And yes. that, you know, there is this collective web or hoop in which we can tap into and recognize and tend to things that, you know, sometimes it is our personal experience, or sometimes it's about learning to trust the process and experience that comes to us, but maybe we're being called or asked to do something through our art or direct mm-hmm. connection with nature, you know, or with, you know, ancestor healing is up a lot for a lot of people, mm-hmm. seems to me. Just this dreaming a future forward through this yeah. recognition and honoring of the inner image as opposed yeah. to the external image. Huge, so huge.
I think there you're talking a little about the idea of active imagination or bridging what happens in the dream into the waking world in some way. Are you familiar with,
yes.
I'm sure you're familiar with, Robert Johnson's material on inner work?
Yes.
Yeah, I find that work so powerful to be able to bridge that image into the world. And I think about Jung and the concept of synchronicity and how once we have the image, then when we see it in our waking life, it's almost like this call and response, you know, where we're getting it mirrored back to us in more ways, you know, and it has more power that way, and more, it's more of a gift. It becomes a figure instead of ground.
Oh, I love that. Figure rather than ground. I'm writing that down. That's beautiful.
Well, we have to do this
yeah.
again. You would like to. Because
I
think there's many more. So go on.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just really delighted. And thank you, Jenny, for letting me talk about dreams. And, you know, it's such a rich and powerful subject that often, you're right, does get neglected, you know, is not important, and, you know, we learn about how to think properly, which is important, right?
Mm-hmm,
how to
mm-hmm.
change behaviors and all these other things, but, you know, I think that the tending of the dream time is really powerful, and I love how you talked about the call and the response, you know, because both, it's more than, you know, it's dreams and being in community with other people that are willing to allow the images that want to come forward, the new story, the new myth that
mm-hmm.
is really being woven in our time. And, you know, the old ways of doing things are not working. They've collapsed
mm-hmm.
or they're collapsing.
Yeah, that's true.
In
yeah.
every aspect of our culture, right? And so to be able to sit in a circle with others and really see what comes out of that space, and it's quite extraordinary, and it's important work.
That's wonderful. I can't wait. If you will agree to be back on, I would love to have you come on and open up the phones to callers who would like to share their dream imagery and, you know, do some of this Jeremy Taylor work, you know, kind of thing, if people would like, if would, people would be open to that. And I would love to have you back on to do that.
Thanks, Jenny. Well, we can try it. We can see how it would go. I think it would be a really exciting experiment to see how that might
yeah.
work, you know, rather than interpret something
yes.
but maybe, you know, do some exploratory work with, you know, on air. That would be good. Yes.
Yeah. Let's revisit that in a few months or, you know, in the spring or something like that, because I think that could be a really rich experience.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for being on, and I want you to be able to share where to get a hold of you for all of your wonderful workshops and your clinical work, and I guess this is the time now to do that.
So thank you, Jenny, and I am, I think I'm a pretty good therapist and dream tender. I'm not a very good techie person.
You're learning.
I'm learning. I'm in the process. My friend Connie calls it taking imperfect action. So so I have a website, and let me give you that, but there's no way to sign up for a mail. It should be up where you can sign up for my newsletter and get other announcements by the weekend. But the website is psychescall.com. So that's psychescall.com. And also, you can reach me if anybody's interested in maybe doing, you know, I'm willing to do some 15-minute free dream sessions via Skype, educationally based, of course, not therapy.
Right.
You can either contact me through psychescall@hotmail.com, or you can call and leave a message in my office, which is 530-467-3353. And, Jenny, thank you for this opportunity. I'm really looking forward to taking, in the new year, some of the work that I've been doing down in Mount Shasta, the soul mm-hmm. calling workshops, and taking them online. So I
awesome.
Really appreciate this opportunity to kind of explore how that might work a little bit through this radio show.
We'll be
so
looking
really,
for that,
you know,
and also for your book. Excited for that, too.
Yes. So I'm really working hard at completing the book, Psyche's Call. And so if you're interested also in finding out more about that, and when so I can contact you when it's done. Again, psychescall@hotmail.com. And you can just say I'm interested in the book or put me on the mailing list, and or you can go check out the website and hopefully visit more than tonight, because that link isn't there quite yet.
Awesome. Well, we'll be patient and open and curious.
Thank you.
That all comes to fruition. We'll dream it with you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So much, Donna
Thank
Mae,
you.
For being on this evening.
Thank
Have
you.
A wonderful evening. Mm-hmm. Take good care.
You too. And good dreams.
Oh, you too.
Yes.
That was Donna Mae with Psyche's Call. Wonderful, wonderful. Opportunity to speak all about dreams. So look for the show in the future about sharing your dream images, and I'm going to take you out with Dara Williams, The Blessing. If you loved this program, go check out Inner Voice Intuitive Tarot Guidance on Facebook. You can sign up there for my page and go check out innervoiceintuitive.com if you'd like to schedule sessions, or sign up for my newsletter and get the free ebook, Chakra Balancing for Every Body and Soul. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. And whatever you do, go make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, create magic, connect to magic, and feel magic in your own life, because that's what we're here for. Have a great evening, everybody. Take good care. Bye now.